on the Coyote Sports Network. From Learfield IMG College, this is the YokeCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics, taking you inside the stories of Coyote athletes, coaches, administrators, and more. Now, here's your host, John Thayer.
How you doing? It's another edition of YokeCast. Another week and we're back at it. Great to have you tuned in for this week's episode. And this week we are going to have some fun. We got a former player, Madison McKeever. Talk to her about what she's up to and the chance to come back to USD last weekend for the ring ceremony. And also, just kind of what she's, how the coaching world's going for her. We'll talk to Stanley Amude, get his thoughts on his team, his career, all of that good stuff coming up. And, of course, we will chat with David Herbster coming up as well. But I mentioned the ring ceremony for the University of South Dakota women's basketball team. And while things were very much different, it was important for Don Plitzelwhite and her team to be able to celebrate with fans in attendance. Yes, they would have loved to have more fans in attendance and no restrictions on fans, but we all understand the situation that we're in, the world that we're in, and the limited fan attendance. But it was important for Coach Don Plitzelwhite and her crew to celebrate with the fans because she understands how important the fans have been in home games and even road games, even in the Summit League tournament, how big of a part the fans play in the Summit League tournament when you are going to win that thing. So certainly I knew that was important for them, and what a great opportunity to have some of the players who graduated come back, have the opportunity. They didn't get to go down on the floor, and I know that that would have been emotional and that would have been something special for them. But again, we're in a world where we all understand the situation and all of that good stuff. So hopefully fans enjoyed the ring ceremony, the banner unveiling, all of that, because I know it was very special to the group of players and coaches who were a part of it last year. Obviously a tremendous season. We may never see a season like that again. Not because we can't have a consistently good women's basketball program, because certainly you can. You've got a great head coach in Don Plitzelwhite. You've got tremendous athletes. It's a place that people want to come for women's basketball. But to lose two games all season long, like, that is a very, very difficult thing to do. And USD did it last year. They were really, really good, and it's obviously unfortunate. It still bothers a lot of us that we never got the opportunity to see how far this team would have been able to go. You know, how deep would they have been able to get past the first round of the NCAA tournament? Would they have been able to make a run to the Sweet 16 or Elite 8? Who knows? I mean, the sky's the limit, it felt like, with that team, and they certainly proved it throughout the course of the year. So I hope fans enjoyed that if you were able to be there. If not, I hope you've enjoyed some of the videos and the photos that have been shared on social media, because that's a very special team, and that is definitely memory that we will all have for a very long time. You know, on the other end of the spectrum, that took place on Sunday, and then on Saturday, the day before, of course, the Coyote men's basketball team had their game canceled at Kansas City. The Coyotes were in Kansas City. They had gone there the day before. For some of us, we were on the drive down to Kansas City when we found out the game was going to be canceled. And it was because a USD player developed symptoms. And you have to appreciate the players in a time like this that are sharing with the training staff or coaches or whoever it may be that they aren't feeling well. Because this is a time where nobody knows what's right. Nobody knows what's wrong. Nobody wants to be the reason that a game is canceled because they were not feeling well. But at the same time, we can't risk things right now with COVID-19 and this entire pandemic. We don't want to risk spreading it to another team. We don't want to risk spreading it amongst our own teams. So applaud the individuals who stand up and say, I'm not feeling well, and then they go through the motions. And when you go through the motions, if it's a comfort level is not there for both teams to play the game, or medical staffs, or whatever it may be, it could be athletic administrations, then the game is going to be canceled and postponed. I hope that's the only one that we have this season, but obviously we've seen basketball games and football games canceled all over the country. Some of them happen on game day. We would love a standard where we could decide the day before, but it's just not realistic in a COVID world. It's not realistic because I can go to bed on Thursday night feeling very, very well, and I can wake up on Friday morning not feeling well. And they have to take all that into consideration. So while it is disappointing, while it is frustrating, I hope that everybody can understand that everybody's doing the best that they can with this, and nobody knows what's right. Nobody knows what's wrong. But we have to continue to support the student athletes who are willing to stand up and say they're not feeling well. We've seen these athletes. We've seen a lot of athletes play over the years with the flu or whatever it may be. But with another virus floating around, you have to be extra cautious with this thing. And so hopefully we don't get into a spot where we are having games canceled or postponed constantly. But it is something that we need to prepare for because it could happen. It could happen in conference play. It could happen in the remainder of non-conference play. But we have to continue to support the decisions, knowing that everybody's doing the best that they can, and supporting the student athletes, knowing that it takes a lot for them to stand up and admit they're not feeling well and try to avoid the spread, potential spread of COVID-19. Coming up in the show today, we will talk to Madison McKeever, a former women's basketball player at USD, and also a current men's basketball player, Stanley Amude. But we start this week's episode with the athletic director at the University of South Dakota, David Herbster. David, we continue to power through the non-conference portion of the basketball seasons, and that also means that other sports are getting ready to gear up as well. But as you go through the non-conference, there's been some different tournaments, a lot of different fun things, and the men taking part this week in the Dakota Showcase at the Sanford Pentagon. What a neat opportunity. I mean, it's really strange to play these teams in a non-conference setting, right? But a neat opportunity when scheduling is just challenged to the max to be able to have these schools work together with the Sanford Pentagon, who's a great partner, and pull off an event like this.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if you get – this doesn't happen in a normal year, right? But I like the collegiality amongst the coaches to come up with solutions when nobody could get non-conference games. And you look at North Dakota, who was really, they didn't have anybody. I'm not sure if North Dakota State had really next to nothing. And then South Dakota State, I mean, we were all kind of in the same boat to varying degrees. And as they started talking and kind of putting this together and the concept, in theory, you could potentially play the same school four times in a year. If, you know, you talk about the Dakota Showcase and you talk twice in the regular season and potentially meeting up in the Summit League tournament. So, you're out of necessity comes, you know, opportunities like this, and really wouldn't have even been possible unless the Sanford Pentagon stepped up and found a way to make it work. I mean, we were able to carve out the dates. It was really worked in everybody's schedule. We had games that were falling off our schedule on a weekly basis, and all the schools get the chance to drive. That was the other thing, is drive to an event where we can get this amount of games in versus trying to get on an airplane and have to fly somewhere. So I give the coaches a ton of credit. I think as administrators and ADs, we found out about it after the fact. They had already kind of principal had kind of hand shook on the deal and pulled in the Pentagon, and then we got involved on it. But that was fine. It worked. And now we get, you know, three games in 3 days in Sioux Falls against teams that, you know, it's not as if these are teams that are coming from all over the country. And we all know each other really well. I know how everybody's testing and the protocols that everybody's taking leading up to this. So it's just it's a safe option. I will say, you know, the downside, and maybe it's indicative of where the state is right now, but not being able to have fans in, you know what, that's frustrating, but I understand it. Our men's team has not played in front of an audience with any fans in the stands yet. So I feel bad for, you know, the athletes, but they're just excited to be able to play. That's what they want to do, is they just want to play.
Yeah, no doubt about it, and they'll continue to play as many opportunities as they get. Certainly a neat opportunity to put the Dakota Showcase together. Last weekend, the Coyote men had a game canceled. It was canceled on game day at Kansas City due to a USD player coming up with COVID-like symptoms. And I think a lot of people understood that this was a possibility throughout the year, but it became very, very real when it's your team, and understanding that just not feeling well on game day has the chance in a year like this to cancel basketball games.
Yeah, it does. And that's just, you know what, each time we go through this, it seems like the scenario might be a little bit different because, you know, we don't share a lot of details of that kind of stuff, but it's somebody who had already been positive, but was showing symptoms, was still within kind of he was outside of the 90-day window, within the 150-day window. Had we tested, more than likely would have shown positive. It was still in the system, but it ended up not being, you know, COVID, and it was just, you know, I think what we're seeing is, and this is going to be our challenge this year, and we've talked to our team doctors or with our trainers and trying to understand how do we manage this, because you're going to probably have some COVID stuff that's out there, but you're also going to have flu or flu-like symptoms or other stuff that's going to kind of creep up into it, and it's trying to manage or you know, navigate all of that, which is going to be tricky. So right now, you're right, and it is, you know, the women have had a game canceled that was up at the Pentagon tournament when Oklahoma backed out of the tournament. Now our men have, you know, right now, since basketball season has started, there have been over 400 cancellations in basketball nationwide. That's a lot. That's incredible. And I keep thinking, I am so hopeful that we can get in and get our minimum 13 games in. I just don't know what's going to happen. And if you have if someone is really doesn't want to play because of COVID-like symptoms, it doesn't end up being COVID, but and you just don't know. And I mean, all that unknown uneasiness is going to play into how this season kind of rolls. So as I was talking to the athletic director at Kansas City that morning, first and foremost, you take these decisions out of the coach's hands. Absolutely. They've got to be in our medical provider's hands. You got to be able to contact Trace really quickly and feel really strongly about all your mitigation efforts and that you're actually, you're doing all the right things. Yeah. And then you might have a chance to continue to play more games than not. But it's going to be the way the season goes, are those early morning phone calls or the day before phone calls if something happens. Now, for basketballs, we're testing 3 times a week. Okay. And so if someone does test positive, well, you just don't travel them. And the concern is, well, what if they finally show up, while you're on site and at the location? And that's the challenge. Because right now, if you've been positive within the period of time, we're not testing those individuals on a weekly basis because that's not part of the guidelines. So, John, it's going to be interesting. That's all I got to say. Early morning and late night phone calls, I feel like, are going to be a norm this year.
Well, and I think a concern that I've had the entire time, David, is at what point do the student athletes do they not want to be the reason a game is canceled, so they try to hide some of these symptoms? And you got to applaud the student athletes who are able to step up and say, I'm not feeling well, here's what I'm dealing with, and you just live with the results, because we have to slow this thing down.
We really do. You know, we do the daily wellness checks, taking the temperatures, all that. And, heck, and I'm not so sure that the temperature is always going to be the barometer if you are or you aren't sick. Both my daughter and my wife had COVID, and neither one of them had a temperature. So who go figure, right? I worry about the kind of mental well-being of our student athletes. I mean, all this uncertainty, you just don't know from one day to the next. I mean, I think they're extremely resilient, but I think they're getting tired of this stuff too. And that's why now more than ever, we've really tried to share with them, hey, season game. We also, it's pretty real now because games are on the line and seasons are on the line. And I want to play the games so they have the outlet. It's not about the money. It's not about TV, radio, the exposure. They've been working their tails off and they need something right now, because we've taken away a big chunk of why they're here at USD. And I know, I know it's a game. I get that. But when it's been all they've done and fought for and trained for so long, you want to give them the opportunity to do it. We've got to find a way to do it in the safest way possible. So it'll be interesting, like I said, as we kind of keep bumbling through this. And I'm sure you're going to notice it too, as you go from location to location, the different protocols now you're going to be under as you broadcast these games from the different venues.
Yep, it's all a changing environment. We're all trying to do the best we can. And you had the chance to put that on display last weekend with the women's home game against Lipscomb. With all the different changes and adjustments, overall, how do you feel like things went?
I think they went well. I certainly believe there's opportunities for us to get better. right? I thought we did a good job in the dome with a lot of the signage and the messaging. I think now that we're in the arena, we need to do a better job of signage and messaging, masking, things like that. Our fans were really, really good about that. Certainly there's a big, tickets are all different, right? It's all kind of mobile tickets now, and try to eliminate as much, handing stuff off to each other. And I think that went pretty well. The ticketing side, people are not in their typical or normal seats, and we got rid of the courtside seats, and it was just different. I'll say that. I do think that as we get into the school year and we figure there's going to be more and more students at games, we've really got to figure out how we keep the students social distancing, if you will, in the bleachers, because there's really no natural barriers in there. Like, in the regular seating, we have 2 to 3 seats in between, accounts, and trying and making sure we don't put people directly behind or directly in front of each other. Bleacher wise, it'll be kind of X-ing out seats, and this is where you can't sit, and just different altogether. I mean, I do think when we play Drake, a little bit better, Mount Marty, a little bit better, to sort of when we get to that point where we're turn the page on the calendar and we're in the conference portion of the season, ironed out some of the kinks and just keep trying to refine it as we go on. Now, we had probably was just under 500 people at the game. And I'd like to think that once we start into league play, we could open it up to more than just season ticket holders and students, that we could start to get some single games ticket sales in there. But we really got to make sure that all of our protocols, plans, and processes are working before we can do that.
Even though it was different and not the celebration that we would normally have or would have liked, how special was it to recognize last year's women's basketball team and be able to remember the success that they had? It ended such an awful way for them, but just a tremendous story, a tremendous season that they had.
It really was, and that was so good to be able to do that. I love doing the banners. Being able to unveil the banner, that was good. It was really good to see. I know Kira Duffy couldn't be there, but it was really good to see Taylor Frederick and Megan Bonar and Maddie McKeever. And so to be able to have them come back and, their excitement and their, they're just done playing, right? And I think I could tell you just in my conversations with them that they still have that itch. They miss the starting lineups. They miss that locker room talk. They miss that camaraderie, but they wouldn't have missed being able to come back and celebrate a championship run like we had. They wouldn't have missed it for anything. So it was so good to finally try to put some type of bow on a season and be able to publicly recognize it.
No doubt, a special season for sure. Speaking of women's basketball, they announced this week they're going to play at Oklahoma December 20th, the game that did not happen in the Sanford Pentagon. Great opportunity to work together and still find a way not to lose that basketball game.
Right, and here's the deal, because Oklahoma certainly in that whole time frame had lost games as well. And I know Dawn was still, we were still looking for games. I mean, with adding Oklahoma to the schedule, that still only gives us, I think, 6 non-conference games. And that 6 non-conference games in about 5 to 6 weeks. So, that game on the 20th is really our last game until January 2nd and 3rd, and we open up league play. So we're going to go 2 weeks without playing a game again, which is just extremely unusual. But In women's basketball, their mid-major to Power 5, they are much more willing to travel, much more willing to play, and really much more willing to do home and homes, because we will have Oklahoma come back to Vermillion next season. So it certainly helps Oklahoma to be able to have a game. It provides us another opportunity for a game, because at that point we're already going to be on the road, because we played Bradley a couple of days prior to that. And we'll just go from Peoria to Norman, Oklahoma to go to play the game. The nice thing is we're not missing any class to do it, and we both get games in. So there's that, that rapport and that understanding among coaches this year. And realize, I don't think I've never added a game in basketball to the schedule after the season has started. So this is just an unusual year.
Yeah. Welcome to 2020 if you haven't had that already. But speaking of that, you know, we've talked about COVID. I know Coyote Pride is very important to the University Athletics Department, the COVID-19 Relief Initiative. How are things going there?
You know, well, I know we just had a mailer that kind of hit people's mailboxes this past weekend. Just still continue to push Andy Carr and Jeff Siegel and myself, still making phone calls. And I know it's a tough time. It's a tough time for everybody. But I've been proud on how our fans, how our alums, how our supporters, how our Howling Pack members have all stepped up to provide a little something to help us. And, you know, it's one of those two. If everybody gives a little, a lot can happen. And that's kind of the mentality right now. Of course, as you can imagine, it's always a challenging time when it's right around Christmas time and you're trying to buy Christmas presents. And, you know, our heart goes out to those individuals that have businesses that have been negatively affected. And overall, I don't have an actual dollar figure for you. Put it this way, it's more than what we had before, but it's not near as much as we need right now. But we're going to continue to kind of keep pushing down and really trying to tell the coach's story and really tell the athlete's story and really try to relay their appreciation for what our people do to help provide for us. But we're at that point in time that we really need Coyote Nation to step up and help support it.
More information for that is available at goyotes.com. All right, ask the AD. I've got one question for you. We used a lot of them last week, but how about this one? When you get into conference play, the women's games are before the men's games for conference play. Was there any talk about switching the order on one of the nights?
No, not on our campus. And we talked about that briefly in the Summit League. And what people wanted to make sure of is that they had as much time as possible in between games. So let's say the game on Friday is 5 o'clock and 8 o'clock. And you're playing the 8 o'clock game. You're not done until 10 or 10:30. But then you turn around and play 5 o'clock the next day. That's what we were trying to balance. So, you know, one team, you know, whether it's the men's program, would have less recovery time, and the other program would have more recovery time. It was just for a consistency perspective, keeping that recovery time the same for both programs. Then you need to keep the time the same for each on both nights.
Makes sense, certainly, and I know there's a lot that goes into all of it, but as long as we have games, we'll take them whatever order and whatever times that we can get them, no doubt about it. David, great stuff. Thanks so much for the time. Greatly appreciated, as always.
Thanks, John. Appreciate you, man.
He's the athletic director at the University of South Dakota, David Herbster. Okay, Yotes fans, let's bank some noise. First Dakota National Bank is here to help you reach all your financial goals. Bank some noise with First Dakota at firstdakota.com, member FDIC. Stanley Amude has made an impact, certainly in his career at the University of South Dakota, and as he navigates through his senior season in what has been this strange COVID world, he has crossed the 1,000-point mark for his career at USD and continuing to try to help the new guys to the program along as the Coyotes try to get on track and head the right direction for the men's basketball season. I had a chance to catch up with Stanley Amude. Stanley, great to catch up with you. I know it's been a slow start to the season, some tough competition that you guys have played, but what are you seeing out of your team right now and the improvements that they made over the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, for sure. It's been a tough start to the season, obviously. We don't have the record right now that we would want to have, but I feel like our last game was a good step in the right direction as far as what we're doing, what we're trying to do this year. I feel like everyone's making their own improvements. Obviously, we have 11 new players, so a couple guys is their first D1 experience, so it's going to take a while to really get their feet wet, and I feel like right now we're making a good push at the right time. Obviously, it's a big weekend for us as far as getting some wins and trying to go into conference with the right playing the right way.
You talk about 11 new guys. With so many new guys in the lineup this year, how has the COVID era affected the team's ability to be where maybe it could be right now if we were in a normal year with a regular preseason?
Yeah, obviously, for sure. Obviously, there's no excuses for how we're playing, but still, if we had the amount of time that we would normally have, I feel like we would be a lot better team than we would be, than we are right now. But it doesn't mean that we still won't have enough time to get there eventually, which it's just a little tough and it's different. We didn't have the summer, obviously, then during the preseason, the people going in and out of quarantine, a lot of, we weren't really able to find a good rhythm. So I feel like right now things have been getting kind of normal practice-wise. We've been having everyone in practice, and it's been going good from there, from that standpoint.
You went over 1,000 points for your career in the first game of the season against Colorado. You knew you were approaching that mark, but then when it happened, what did it mean to you to hit that milestone?
Oh no, it meant a lot. It meant a lot to me, obviously, honestly, it's an honor to be in that group. There's only 31 people. I think I was the 31st person to do it. So it's just nice to know that I'll be in the history books here and people will kind of remember me whenever I'm gone.
You're getting ready to play the Dakota Showcase in the Pentagon. It's an interesting setup playing rivalry teams in a non-conference setting. Are you excited for this type of event that's just different, something you normally wouldn't get?
For sure, yeah, I'm definitely excited. I can't wait. I mean, it's gonna be a little weird, but it's still the first time of the season playing against these guys, so I think we're all gonna be pretty pumped to try to compete. So, yeah, I mean, it's gonna be weird once we start to play them the second, third time of the season, but I'm definitely excited for this first matchup with these three teams.
Yeah, you know, you talk about that second and third matchup, so that'll be unique in that you could play three times before even the conference tournament. What are the challenges or maybe the benefits of seeing these teams at least three times?
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be challenges with just, like, the scouting. By the time we play them the third or possibly even the fourth time, it's going to be like everyone knows each other, like the back of their hand. So that's going to be tough to find a way to score with, you know, just playing the same team, knowing personnel that way. But it's going to be also a fun challenge, you know, finding new ways to exploit matchups and finding new ways to try to win the game.
Coach Lee has preached that your team continues to grow and you need games to do so. As a senior on this team, what are you looking for this team to do this week to feel like you're taking that next step forward beyond that step you took from the Little Apple Classic to the Nebraska game? What do you need to see out of this group this week?
This week, the main objective is to win. So, I mean, if we could get some wins, then I feel like we're heading in the right direction. Obviously, we felt good competing with Nebraska, but we still didn't get the outcome we wanted. So I feel like everyone should just start playing with their confidence, because I've seen in practice what these guys can do, and I have no doubt that we're capable. So I think this weekend I'm just trying to see some of the stuff that I see in practice come out and flashes of people just playing their game.
Do you think some of those challenges are just some of the guys not having Division I experience or some of the guys not playing in a real game for over a year before they played this season?
Yeah, but I mean, I always tell them too, like, we've been playing this game our whole life. It's just different opponents. So, I mean, obviously experience comes into it, but once confidence kicks in and just remembering that it's the same game even they've been playing their whole life, I feel like we'll be fine.
You talked about seeing what these guys are capable of in practice, and you've seen, obviously, this group more than a lot of people have. How good can this team be once that confidence is there and things start clicking?
Yeah, no, I feel like the sky's the limit when things start clicking. Defensively, I feel like we're all bought in, and we've been doing a decent job defensively. We still improve on that end. But once we get Cruz and AJ and Brady and everyone playing, like, I know that they can, it's going to be special, and I feel like we can do something really special.
This year's a free year of eligibility. It may or may not work for athletes to play another season. Have you thought about how that may affect you or what you want to do as far as another year of eligibility is concerned?
No, I haven't really thought about it. As far as right now, this is my senior year, so I'm just taking it in as that and trying to think of it as normal as possible.
So what are you hoping to do after USD then? Is it start the working life? You looking to pursue a continued basketball career somewhere? What are you hoping to do?
For sure, yeah. I'm trying to play basketball and see how far it can take me and see how far my hard work can take me after USD. So I'm just going to keep pursuing that career and then see where that goes.
Stan, whenever your time is done at USD, what do you hope fans remember about you and how you played the game in a Coyote uniform?
Yeah, I just really want to be remembered for the relationships I've made with people, and just want to be remembered for somebody that just wanted to do anything it took to win, and willing to stick it out no matter what, through hard times, positives, negatives, just taking it out. So just wanted to be remembered as somebody, a loyal player and a talented player, but more so I want to be remembered for the relationships that I made here.
Well, we look forward to continue seeing your senior year play out and the team continue to grow. Stan, thanks so much for the time. Greatly appreciate it.
Thank you. No problem.
That's Stan Liamudi, a senior men's basketball player for USD. For the past decade, there's only been one place to watch your favorite coaches, players, and teams. That place is Midco Sports Network, celebrating 10 years of sports this season. This past weekend, Madison McKeever was one of the players who had the chance to come back to USD, had a chance to celebrate a receiver ring from all of her success last season and her team's success, and see the banner unveiling. Madison McKeever, tremendous player at USD, will go down as one of the greatest defensive players to play. She graduated fourth all-time at USD in career steals and scored 1,000 points in her career. Had a chance to catch up with Madison McKeever to talk to her about her Coyote career and also about her new career as a college coach. Madison, first of all, how are you? How are things going for you?
Things are going well. I mean, under the circumstances that are going on in this world, but things are going really well. Coaching at Concordia St. Paul right now as an assistant, so everything's going really well. Yes.
We'll get into that coaching stuff here in just a little bit. You were just back at USD this past weekend for to receive your ring from last year, the banner unveiling. What was that moment like for you, even though obviously it was different than what that ceremony would have been like during a regular year? But what was that moment like for you to get the chance to come back and appreciate the accomplishments that this group had a year ago?
It was definitely a tough day, just with a lot of emotions that happened in such a short time. Even just walking into the arena through a different door and being dressed up rather than having my hair pulled up and wearing a headband ready to play a basketball game. But it was awesome to see the other seniors that could make it that day and see people that have supported me the last 4 years at USD. And I had some great conversations with, especially like the boosters and the fans. I mean, the last conversations I had with them was, we were guessing where we were going to play in March Madness, and to talk to them and just about my life and what they're doing, and seeing some of the girls from some of the players that were playing and the coaches, got to see a little bit and talk to them. But receiving that ring up on top, because we were on the court on the top of the gym, and receiving that in front of everyone, it definitely made me cherish all the moments that I had there my last 4 years. And I'm super happy my parents and my family got to be there. They've supported me through my whole career. They spent time, money, nights. I mean, the amount of miles they put on their cars to come watch as many games as they could. I was very honored to have them and blessed to have them there and to support me receive my ring.
Well, in your family obviously has been tremendously supportive in your career. We've seen them everywhere, almost every home game. At least somebody was there, I think, almost every home game of your career at some point. And we're talking about, I think this is something that, you know, your parents did, other parents certainly do, but maybe goes underappreciated or people don't understand it. The amount of, you mentioned the miles that they put in, but also not always driving during the daylight, driving late at night, getting less sleep so that they could be there and be back to work, or through the snowstorms and the ice storms. Have you ever sat back and thought about all of that and just let that sink in on what that support actually means?
It definitely did that day. I wouldn't be where I was without them and the amount of support that I've gotten from each and one of them. I know if one couldn't make it, they apologized and they felt so bad every time, but at least one could make it. I mean, at least one of them tried to make it to every game as they could. And yeah, and they, like you said, they would leave for games and not get home till 2 a.m. And have to get up for the next day for work. I mean, but that just shows how much coming and watching me meant to them, and I'm very honored and blessed to have that.
Such an unbelievable season last year. Have you been able to get over the way that it ended, or does it still bother you with the unfortunate circumstances that that were dealt and you had to deal with?
It definitely just still bugs me, especially going back and, you know, seeing the girls warm up and play a game and not being a part of that and trying to watch basketball on TV again. It still bugs me, and especially with rankings for teams going out, but I think I needed that moment to go back and get that closure a little bit that I needed and say things to people, my teammates, the coaches that I haven't seen since my last game. And to receive that ring and kind of say my goodbyes, or not even goodbyes, but just like even my seniors, I haven't seen them, especially since maybe my last game. And it was good to have conversations with them and where life's at right now for all of us. But it definitely still stinks, but we just got to move on and just deal with that.
No doubt. Everybody needs a little bit of closure when you have moments like that. You mentioned you're now a coach at Concordia St. Paul. What a great opportunity for you. How has that been going?
It's going really well, especially, I mean, for what we can do right now. Our season actually doesn't start till after January 1st. We are getting tested 3 times a week to just be able to practice right now. And our girls have been very good about, you know, staying home or, you know, being safe and just trying to prevent any COVID cases. And I know that's definitely hard during this time, especially being a college student. But I'm loving what I'm doing. I love my being around the coaches that I am. And it's definitely a different role, being in that coaching role rather than being a player. But that's what I'm also learning at this time. But I'm excited for the season to start here after Christmas break and get things rolling.
Madison, you've talked about wanting to be a coach for a while. What was the moment, or when did you know you wanted to get into coaching?
I think for me it was the end of my junior year more, where I knew, because everyone was saying, well, this is your last summer workouts, this is your last non-conference, hey, this is your last, you know, season to give it your all. And for me, I put so much time and everything into the game of basketball, and I love it, where I just couldn't see myself going away from it. And I'm blessed that I went that route, especially with how my season ended last year. I think being around it has helped me so much get past what happened, and it helps me push the players that I'm working with and kind of give them that, you know, you got to treat every practice like it could be your last. And that definitely could happen this year. We don't know with COVID and the cases. I mean, we have to practice like it's our last. And some of the seniors right now aren't maybe able to stay depending on their classes and everything. So right now, just taking every moment as they can and hopefully get a season to play.
It's obviously been a different year, and you've acknowledged that, and just the way that coaching is and the way that your season is. What have you learned about Madison McKeever, the coach, to this point?
I definitely bring in a lot of energy, and I can kind of be a hard-ass coach. No, I definitely see why coaches get frustrated when players don't do the little things, that, especially when you just told them to do something and they don't listen to the next possession. But no, it's going really well. I'm glad I can see how each player has their own personality and get to know one a little bit more of them, and just learning new roles and how different coaches run their practice, run their teams, and just learning different aspects of that. So, yeah, I'm very excited to see how the season goes and see how our players do this year.
Now that you're out of it, out of playing, you can admit to this. So tell me something that you did as a player that now bothers you as a coach when a player does that particular thing.
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I think the biggest thing would just be, God, I don't know. There's always some moment I didn't do something right, or was closing out on someone correctly, or getting out to a shooter. It's just the little details that we talk about that I see our players not catch on or even like hustling down the court, and it just drives me nuts. So we're kind of got after me at that moment.
Yeah. Player and coach relationship and things like that. Mm-hmm. You know, Coach Pease talked about you being into the coaching or wanting to get into coaching when people have asked her about it before. And she's always acknowledged your attention to detail and sometimes being in the huddles and bringing up things maybe in the game that maybe she hadn't thought of, things like that. What moment did you feel like you actually started to take over as a, whether it was being a senior leader or kind of taking that coaching role, knowing that you had to be a coach on the floor as a leader on this team?
I think it started, I mean, early in my career. I mean, especially being a starting point guard my sophomore year, the point guard is kind of taking that role for the team. They kind of control the pace. They control what offense, defense we're kind of running. And so that was just something that just kind of came to me naturally. And obviously I had helped with Coach P and other coaches with that role, but I think it's always just kind of came natural to me. And I knew that's what helped me in, go into the coaching role. But yes, throughout huddles, I would give advice. I guess I see the court in a different view than maybe some other players, and that definitely helped along the way.
So Concordia St. Paul, for those who don't know, most probably do, is in the Northern Sun, the NSIC. Mm-hmm. Your sister plays in the NSIC for a different team, but I don't believe that you're on the schedule to play each other this year. Is that a good thing, or is it a bit of a bummer that you don't get a matchup this season?
There's mixed feelings with that. Just because we play on the same nights, I probably won't get to see her play this year besides on film or whatever. But it's obviously a positive just not having to go against each other. And I know her, a lot of her strengths, and having to do scouting, I'd hate to, you know, to have that pressure on her. And I'm just glad, you know, hopefully maybe we'll see each other in tournament time, but and maybe in the championship, but I hope her season goes well, and I wish her nothing but the best, but again, it's probably a good thing maybe we're not playing against each other.
Well, your family would have to figure out how to wear a shirt that had both logos on it.
Well, they told me
right?
They'd be for sure wearing red, so.
When you look back at it right now, you've had some time to allow it to sink in. When you look back at your time at USD and playing women's basketball at USD, what's a moment or two that really stand out to you in your career that you will appreciate and cherish for a long time?
I guess there's not a exact moment that, I mean, sticks out besides, you know, winning the tournament this past year. Especially for us seniors, that's something we work for since the first day we showed up for practice that freshman summer. And for us to work hard, and we've been close multiple times, and to actually get to that moment and win it, that's just a huge moment. But I guess for me, I take all the memories I had through all the road trips, the practices, the places I traveled. I mean, I can't believe, I mean, my freshman year, I went to Australia. And that's just wild to tell people that we went there for like 2 weeks, but there's not an exact moment that sticks out to me completely. I mean, I cherish all of them and learned so many lessons along the way throughout my 4 years at USD.
So you mean to tell me you went to a Power 5 school and every time that you touched the ball or guarded somebody, you were booed? We're talking about South Carolina. That moment doesn't make the list? Come on now.
Well, it definitely does, but I mean, I hate to bring up that I got booed.
But it was because you were doing good things for our team.
I mean, we played some great competition throughout my 4 years, and yeah, playing, I mean, the number one team in the country right now, and at this point they are, and I mean, some of the other teams that we played in the non-conference, it's unbelievable, and some of the wins we had, those definitely stick out, but especially the winning the whole tournament for us, and trying to go to, hopefully would have went to the dance, but sadly, no, but there's a lot of moments that stick out, and but yeah, it was a great run for us seniors and ended on a really good note.
Well, you were obviously never booed by the home crowd. When you're booed by the opponents because you're doing things that they don't like, and that's helping USD, then we can certainly talk about those moments, no doubt. You know, you obviously you were a fan favorite. You had a ton of success in your career, scoring over 1,000 points. You graduated fourth all-time in steals, and you'll be remembered as one of the great defensive players to play at USD for women's basketball. All of that said, and you had a relationship with fans and with boosters and everybody else, and even Coach P's pack and the youngsters who came to games, a lot of fun. When you look back and, you know, years down the road, when people think of Madison McKeever, the player, what do you hope that they think about, or what do you hope they remember?
I hope they just remember that no matter what, you know, size town you're from, what size, how tall you are, no matter what your goal is, I mean, if you put in all the time and effort and into something, either it's sports, school, whatever, instruments, you can succeed at those. And you just got to give it your best, and good things will happen for you. And I just hope USD remembers I was that small pesky guard that, you know, try to give it all each game, no matter what size the opponent was or how big, you know, what ranking the team was. I just gave it my best, and I just had a lot of fun doing it.
Well, I know a lot of people had a lot of fun watching you do it as well. So, great stuff, Madison. It's been awesome to catch up with you, and great to chat and kind of reminisce and think back about things. I know it hasn't been that long ago, but always fun to have the conversation. I hope your family's all doing well, and wish you all the best with the coaching gig at Concordia St. Paul. Can't wait to watch your coaching career and how that all unfolds. Thanks so much for taking some time.
Yeah, thank you, John. Appreciate it.
That's Madison McKeever, a former USD women's basketball player and current coach at Concordia St. Paul, an assistant coach for the Concordia St. Paul women's basketball program. Be fun to see how her career continues to develop in the coaching ranks. We know what she did as a player. Now to see it in the coaching ranks, can't wait to watch her career unfold. That is going to just about wrap things up for us here for this Yotecast episode. Download and subscribe wherever you get your podcast if you haven't already. These episodes are always available as well on goyotes.com/yotecast. You can see them right at goyotes.com, right in the left column. Scroll down on that front page. It's all right there as well. So check that out. Coyote men will be at home on Wednesday, scheduled to play Drake. It's a rematch between the two. The Coyotes fell to Drake down in Manhattan, Kansas at Kansas State in the Little Apple Classic in Game 2 of the year. The two are scheduled for a rematch on Wednesday. So check that out. If you have tickets, we'll see you there. If not, you can always tune in to the Coyote Sports Network and check out the game as well. You can watch it at goyotes.com. Also, the University of South Dakota women's basketball team, you probably saw, has added a game against Oklahoma, a road trip to Norman, Oklahoma. That game is scheduled for December 20th. So next week, the Coyote men will play on Wednesday at home. The Coyote women will be on the road at Bradley on the 17th on Thursday before traveling to Norman, Oklahoma to play OU on Sunday the 20th. The Coyote men are also at home on the 20th as they take on the Mount Marty University Lancers. So check all that out. It's all coming up as we continue to work through the non-conference season. Limited time remains here in the non-conference season. We'll be into conference play before you know it. Check all that stuff out. Continue for more information. Go to goyotes.com on everything South Dakota Coyotes. And thanks so much for your time. I'm John Thayer. It's been great. Another great episode. Great to have you listening, and appreciate your time listening to each and every episode as well. Stay safe and go Yotes.
Thanks for listening to Yotecast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Coyote Sports Network.